There we go.
I hear words.
They're the same. Words, both sides.
Progress.
I fixed it.
Good job, Andrew.
Thanks, bud.
So we got Trenton here because I need someone to watch Chino because he's a menace.
Sure. Is Chino in office?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Look, that's him, all right. There he is.
Oh, I didn't know Tyler could see. You can't see Tyler.
Right,
got it.
Right.
Got it.
That's a dog, all right.
Yep. So that's Tyler. Hey, that's Chino.
What's up? Same.
Hopefully he goes back to sleep now. Probably won't. Probably very riled up.
The meds work? Is he on the mend?
He seems to be mending. Ears no longer like black inside. Apparently, inside the ears, you pull out black goo. Actually, bad.
Hmm.
You might want to keep that in your back pocket moving forward.
I was say I've never claimed to be a veterinarian.
So yeah, I did. Trent's known about Chino the longest. He was the most excited about it. He's basically like his Barstool like uncle of sorts. So him
sure.
being in here, and he's like one of the few people who actually listens to our show. So him being
even better.
Yeah, him being in here was a win-win. For everyone, Charles Green.
Sure.
And now he's just taking a fucking nap. His face is exactly where he just peed.
Big mood.
Are you feeling better? Are you on the mend?
I am. I was just I was just at a restaurant having some lunch. And while I was having lunch, I see a news camera and a white lady with a microphone approaching. I'm like, oh, no, this is not like this. It's not good news. Like nobody's ever like you're eating. It's the best restaurant ever. What do you think? And so the restaurant, they were like, these patrons know about those inspection scores. I was like, oh, no, while I was eating my lunch. So, yeah, that's been my day.
So you're going to be sick yet again.
Correct. After a nice possum meat meal,
yeah.
I would surely be puking my guts out. Maybe by the end of this episode. Stay tuned.
Was the food good?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, that person should have minded their own business.
I was going to say, all's well that ends well, but they were walking with, like, Uzi Vert to the school bus fervor, and I was like, oh, no. This is either something bad just happened, or she's going to be like, something bad is about. Like, what? How do you feel about this being on ancient burial ground?
And Navajo tribe.
She had a twinkle in her eye, and I was like, that's bad news.
I was at a Best Buy. I used to be a big Black Friday guy, like out in the trenches, sure. getting those hot deals.
Sure.
And I was at a Best Buy once. It's like 5:45 in the morning, like 6 in the morning. And my boy was going to like look at a TV or some shit. And I was like just grabbing as many Breaking Bad DVDs as I could. And yep. I was just standing there, just waiting for my boy to come back. And I see this like gorgeous woman smiling at me and walking towards me. And I was like, yep, this is another day.
Yeah, Tuesday for the McMahon.
And my brain just completely broke in half. And she got all the way up to me. And at the last second, she pulled a mic like a magician. She pulled a microphone out of no – like I saw her hands the whole time. There was no microphone in those hands. As soon as she popped up to me, boom, microphone. And this camera guy came from – like I have great – not to brag. I'm not here to brag. Everyone knows that. I have outstanding sure. peripheral vision, like some of the best. This guy came from like descended from the ceiling with a camera and was just in my face.
Sting was the cameraman.
Yeah. And she just started to ask me about Black Friday deals. And I was like, DVDs are good.
Nailed it. And now you two have been married for 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, listen, many people don't know that. I hate to tell. Not everyone wants to hear about how did you meet, but that's how it was. And we've been smitten with each other ever since. It turns out she, in fact, also liked DVDs. I don't know. LeVar Ball, though. Folks. LeVar Ball wants fucking Luke Walton out of here.
Did you see what Walton said back? I just saw that in the press conference.
Why he took Lonzo out early?
Yeah.
They
were like, Luke Walton said it jokingly. I was like, yeah, jokingly. Hilarious.
Yeah, Lonzo, why did Lonzo come out early? Because Dad was talking shit.
Yeah, plain and simple.
I don't hate that. Look.
At all. Game is the game. Tough but fair.
Did you see Lonzo's, like, response to all this, like, before he got pulled early, like, right after LeVar said that shit before they played?
No, see, I hadn't heard Lonzo say anything. What did he say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was getting peppered probably for, like, 2.5 minutes by reporters just left and right, like, asking the same question over and over pretty much. And so it was basically, like, should you stop your dad? Like, should you step in? And then, like, the next question would be, like, do you think Luke Walton's a good coach? And, like, it was just those two questions over and over. And he kept being like, I'll play for anyone. Like, my dad's a grown man. Exactly. He just kept saying, I'll play for anyone. Like, I saw some people trying to spin it like he doesn't want to, like, throw his teammates under the bus. I was like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, if they really want Luke Walton out of there, like, and he's supposed to be the face of the franchise, then, yeah, he should say something right then.
I don't know. The thing, I'll say, like, watching them early on, that's why I was like, I don't think they're going to be as bad as, like, they've been now. And somebody did, like, a whole video, and they noted, like, they were like, since, like, Christmas, it's like, these guys basically stopped trying on defense. Like, something happened. I don't know if it's Walton. I don't know if it's, like, management saying they're tanking. Something happened because these guys were at least, even last year, they had, like, Lou Williams and Swaggy trying on defense. Julius was protecting the rim early this year, and now everybody's getting past him this year. So, something happened. I don't know what, but I don't know. The math ain't mathing.
How much blame do we get for us talking about them trading Luke Walton last week?
75% minimum.
I mean, we were getting blamed for Kawhi re-injuring his shoulder this weekend.
He's still not injury prone, though. That's only Anthony Davis. Still not injury prone.
But we were getting blamed for that. No one was blaming us for this. I feel like people missed the mark on that. I think this is 100% our fault. Like, no one was talking about Luke Walton being the problem until we were like, we weren't even calling him the problem. We were just saying he'd probably be a better coach in Minnesota than Tibbs is in Minnesota. Now we might be able to see that as a reality.
We'll see. If something comes out about, like, Karl Anthony Towns' father calling out Tibbs, then we'll know, like, okay, all right, something's up.
I don't even know if Karl Anthony Towns' father, like, is able to speak anymore. Like, I've never heard a peep out of that guy.
Oh, no, they would interview him at, like, every single Kentucky game ever and just ask him the same, like, so, your son's pretty good, huh? Yeah. You must like that. We're very proud of him.
By the way, I have no problem. I saw someone reporting that, like, some NBA coaches are going to get reporters' credentials pulled if they keep talking to LeVar Ball. Like, that feels un-American.
Feels overreactive.
Like, what are these people? Like, clearly LeVar Ball gets clicks. Clearly people like LeVar Ball. They like hearing him talk because he's a crazy person. So I don't. Sure. He's not even a crazy person. He's just a passionate fucking person.
He's a father. Right. He's a businessman.
Right. A pretty damn good one, too.
Also, like, if you think that's going to stop LeVar Ball from talking, okay.
Right. Like, I just don't like the whole idea of, like, if you talk to this guy, we're going to start pulling, like, credentials. Like, that seems supremely fucked up to me. Like, you can't control – that's controlling the media. That's fucking, like, a tyrannical state. Like, I'm not here for that at all.
Like, they did it with, like, Steve Spurrier had a guy that he would not talk to. He was like, if he leaves the room, I'll answer anything you guys want. And they would eventually make that guy leave the room. Boogie had a guy like that in Sacramento. He would ask him, like, crazy stuff, and he was like, yo, I'm not talking until he leaves the room. And people hated it. But now the coach is doing it. It's like, yeah, get that LeVar, get that cancer out of here. Now shoes on the other foot, and they're like, it's fine. Seems shady.
Even that way, like, a player not wanting to talk to someone because, like, if DeMarcus Cousins never wanted to talk to Clay Travis because he said he'd be in jail, like, I would understand that. I have no problem with that. You don't owe that person anything.
Sure.
But being the other way, like, oh, if you talk to that person, like, you can't even come to our building anymore? Like, that seems, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't seem right.
Just wait till LeVar is, like, standing outside like the crazy campus preacher. Like, that'll really take the heat off.
Speaking of Karl-Anthony Towns, though, our guy Zach Harper wrote a piece about how...
Was somebody taking out the garbage?
Yeah, about how terrible he is and how he should feel bad about being so bad. No, Zach Harper wrote a piece about...
A very good piece.
Yeah, about how his defense actually isn't bad anymore since he's been called out about it so much. And me and you had noted it, that his shots per game had gone down, and his, if that had been in an effort to have him focus more on defense. And yeah, it fucking appears so.
I mean, they're still, I think they're still four seed. I feel like they're in that comfortably.
I mean, Towns just gave the Celtics like 30 and 23, like the other day. He also got murdered by Jason Tatum on a dunk, so it's hard to say whether he's good or not.
You win some, you lose some.
That play was crazy to me.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I was just saying, they're still four seed.
Right.
So they're...
No, they're still actually good. But that play to me... That specific play, because I had to tweet it out immediately because I knew it was going to get tweeted at me, and it still did even though I tweeted it out. I think sure. If I got dunked on, less people would be talking about it than Towns dunking on Tatum dunking on Towns.
Well, we know you're an offensive stalwart.
It's
your
true.
Defense has never been your calling
card. It's true. But the thing about that whole play to me was, like, yeah, you got dunked on. That's always embarrassing. I have no problem with that. That, to me, like, his guy was in the corner. And Andrew Wiggins got blown. Like, the people were like, oh, Andrew Wiggins got screened. Yeah, by Kyrie Irving. Like, not the most stout, like, screen setter. Like, pretty easy.
Brick wall Irving.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins Irving, we like to call him. Andrew Wiggins didn't even try to get around that screen. So, yeah, Jason Tatum had a wide open lane to the rim. Karl Anthony Towns got all the way off his man in the corner, got under the hoop, put his hands up. Like, there was no foul called. He just got yammed on. Like, he was in the right place. He did not finish the defensive play, but he was in the right place. Like, he rotated correctly, making up for Andrew Wiggins, who continues to not really try on defense. I wasn't that mad at it. Now, sure, he got dunked on. You never want to get dunked on. Never jump. But to me, it was like, all right, this guy's actually in the right place. And then when he pulls down 23 rebounds in a close game, yeah, maybe this, and I think only like four were offensive, yeah, maybe this guy is pretty important on defense.
Yeah, I was mostly surprised that he jumped on time. Normally, like, he'd be jumping at like the time Tatum was gathering. So he's like looking backwards, like over his shoulder while Tatum's just dunking an empty rim. So progress. Progress.
That's all I'm looking for. A little bit of progress. Van Gundy was tearing into him. Like this guy doesn't try on defense. Like, he's never going to be one of the greats. Maybe calm down. 22.
I'm on Van Gundy's side there. Long of tooth. They got to start looking at his replacement. I think Gorgui Dieng is what. He's got to be 24, pushing 25 maybe. So I don't know what the Wolves' rebuilding plan is.
Well, they took that dude out of Creighton. I assume he's a long-term plan here.
I was going to say, I don't know if he's played a single – I don't know if he's got any snaps all season, Coach.
He sure hasn't. How are before we get into our top 15 list, I feel like there was a decent amount of basketball this weekend, but not – anything too noteworthy, unless I'm forgetting anything?
People are going to yell at you.
Probably. I mean, they always do, but I was going to ask you if you were getting yelled at when Nate Peat checked in for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, boy. I was just waiting for him to just go 60 yards and also convert the two-point conversion and then also kick the onside kick and also recover it and also take the knee. Wouldn't have been a great sequence for Trilkey.
Well, luckily, that didn't happen in this or any other universe. If there are multiverses, that outcome never happened because it wasn't even on the table. Peterman came in. He scrambled for the first down, which was hilarious. Like, the fact that he even picked it up. Like, I thought he was dead to rights in the backfield. Picked up the first down, promptly fumbled, never tried to recover the fumble.
No, just left it there like he dropped his keys. It's like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah, those are my keys.
The Jags kicked it out of bounds. Could have been over right then and there. They kicked it out of bounds. I believe he only had three plays, unless I'm forgetting one.
I'm sure handed off with excellent precision. The handoff, nothing like that bum Taylor could do.
He threw directly to the line of scrimmage for grounding when he was about to get sacked. And then, I mean, this guy, you want to talk one of the key quarterback traits? This guy's got a short memory, Withers. He does not. The last play has no bearing on the next play. And he stepped back with confidence and rifled a duck directly towards one of the best cornerbacks in recent memory. Promptly intercepted. I had actual tears in my eyes when he threw that ball, and when I realized who he threw it at. Just the most obvious interception since, like, Peyton was looking at Ty Law in the snow. Like, it was...
He almost picked it off twice. Like, the first, like, it only went up in the air. He was like, oh, shit, the ball. And then, because he's Jalen Ramsey, he was like, oh, yeah, I could still make a play on that.
Like, that happened. I tweeted out everything I just said. Because it was so funny to me. He's been in the game 5 seconds. He did this, this, and this. And I had people being like, yeah, well, Tyrod didn't do much better. Like, what does it have to do with anything I just said? Like, yeah, Tyrod did not play that great. Also, he was facing the number two. They're facing the same defense, no doubt. He faced the number two defense in the league with no receivers and had them, if he hadn't been rock bottomed.
Hey, he's got Kelvin Benjamin, buddy. The guy the Panthers just gave up on, and their offense took off without him. They got him, so...
Calvin Benjamin may be in worse shape than I am, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, first and goal on the goal line, you got to throw a fade to that guy being covered by Jalen Ramsey. That's exactly where you go to in the playbook.
You love the goal line fade.
Love it. It's my favorite play. 90% success rate. I love it against the best cornerback in football and one of the worst starting receivers, I would say. Love it.
That play, I remember my father, when I was like 11 and 12, he had dreams of me being the next Johnny Unitas. Like, he would take me to the field and make me throw 100 in a row just fades to the end zone. And, like, not even to him, he would just put, like, an X in the corner of the end zone and be like, you got to throw it right here. You got to throw it with a lob. You got to get it right here. This play is unstoppable. It's unstoppable because it's never once been, like, connected on.
But Pops had the vision, man. Just be tall, white. You didn't even have to make the throw. Like, you just – Pops had the vision, so give credit where it's due.
He wasn't wrong frequently. I'll say that much.
Tyrod threw, I think, 450 passes and had 4 picks, and Peterman threw, I think, 52 passes and had 5 picks.
No, I mean, he's like counting the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, and counting everything.
Oh, well, he had 6 picks, my friend, because I remember good and well he had 5 picks in that one half.
Okay, yeah, it was 50. He threw 52 passes total and had 6 interceptions. For comparison, let's see what Tyrod, and I know he missed that 2nd and 7 throw, you guys, in week 4. You guys don't have to at me with it. Tyrod threw 457 passes, had 5 picks.
What can you do with a guy like that?
Cut him is what you can do.
And, like, neither of us think, like, Tyrod's like Brady Jr. Like, neither of us think he's like a few receivers away from being like the best in the league. But he's clearly a starting quarterback.
Right. Like that's all I'm saying. Like, this offseason, I feel like Kirk Cousins is going to get $30 million and Tyrod Taylor is going to get $10 million. Now, is Kirk Cousins better than Tyrod Taylor? I don't have a problem with that. Is he $20 million better? I don't think so.
Right. Right.
So if I could have, like, if you tell me I have my, like, if I'm Arizona or Denver or whatever, it's like, yeah, I could pay $30 million, like, 4 years, $120 million, whatever, Cousins, or I could get Tyrod 3 years for 30. I think I'd just take Tyrod and fill out the, like, use that remaining $20 million on weapons, line, whatever.
Like, Denver doesn't even need, like, if they got Tyrod and then just address their offensive line, I don't even know if their line's good or bad, but I know they have Emmanuel Sanders. I know they have Demaryius Thomas. Like, that's a pretty decent place to start.
Yeah, like with any kind of cornerback, like I feel like he's, like he feels like Alex Smith to me, like Alex Smith that runs more often.
Right.
And again, I don't think that's a bad thing, especially when I think Alex Smith made, there's going to be looking to make like $20 million. So would I rather, is Alex Smith better than Tyrod? Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. But would I rather pay Alex Smith 20 or Tyrod 10? I'd rather pay Tyrod 10.
R.I.P. to your mentions, friend. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Let me go ahead and just mute that.
Do you have the ad in front of you?
Let's see. Yes, I do.
All right. Do we have more than one or just one?
Just one. Oh. Our good friends at Tommy John.
Let's hear it.
You got it. Am I wrong? All right. Copy points are suggestions only. Please make this read your own, delivering CTA and bolded lines verbatim. Potential approaches. Start the new year by upgrading your old, uncomfortable underwear to Tommy John, the revolutionary comfort company for the modern man. When was the last time you said, I love my underwear? Answer me, Mick.
The last time I put on my Tommy John's withers.
Good answers. Trent still listening? When's the last time Trent loved his underwear?
I have never loved my underwear.
I got news for you, Jack. Probably never, right? That's what the ad says. But, well, when you switch to Tommy John like I did, you'll be saying, underline, just that, exclamation point. The scoop. Tommy John is committed to providing mind-blowing comfort, not just in their underwear, but in all of their incredible apparel. Focus on. Unparalleled. There are a lot of bullet points here. Unparalleled.
They don't
comfort.
Think we can read. It's fine.
That's a fair bet by them. Unparalleled comfort. Tommy John's innovative designs and patented fabrics ensure that your underwear will never ride up, the waistband will never roll down, and you'll never get a wedgie. It's the best pair guarantee. If you don't love it on you, it's on them. You see what they did there? The I details. Do. Trent, did you see what they did there?
Yep, I saw it.
Awesome. Tommy John. Engineered underwear so you never have to adjust. No more distractions, picking wedgies, or rearranging the goods, if you know what I mean. Oh! They stay completely nestled at all times. And listen, I've tried all kinds of different underwear brands trying to find the perfect fit for my dick and balls. I added that part. And Tommy John is simply the best there is, without question. 2 exclamation points. Now, they've got an entire line of comfortable clothing at Tommy John. It includes undershirts that stay tucked, socks that never fall down, and just wait till you check out their T-shirts, exclamation point. Imagine. I want to take you guys on a ride with me. I want you to imagine soft, smooth, luxurious fabric that never shrinks out or stretches out. Can you imagine that?
Sure can.
Trent, can you imagine that?
Yep.
That's precisely what you get with Tommy John's second skin tee. Plus, all Tommy John underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose, literally nothing to lose. Now, here's what we call a call to action in the business and also on this paper. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Mick and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Mick, M-I-C-K, for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Mick. Did you catch that, Trent?
Yep.
We're good to go.
Electric. Absolutely electric.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules aim is slain, anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
So I was explaining to Trent. Trent's a man who also, he enjoys to laugh. He's not afraid to admit it.
I'm a laugher.
There it is. Yeah. Laughter.
Right there in the flesh. Cued it up perfectly. So I was explaining to him what today's episode was going to be and how we were going to break down or give our top 15 funniest people list. I was explaining to him, naturally, we were talking about Gallagher last episode, which he's didn't even blink. He was like, yep, mixtape, Gallagher, watermelons, I get it. Very cool. Racist by him, but either way.
Iowa, man, what can you say?
That's a red state, Tyler. People forget that. I don't even know if that's true. It is true. And so I told him we had discovered all these lists and how angry they made us. And he didn't fully understand, like, how people could make these lists and, like, have no qualifications. Like, how are you just going to, like, randomly list stand-ups but then also have, like, other people peppered throughout, which is why we're here. It's very noisy.
Correct.
Outside, all over the place.
It sounds like there's a mariachi band outside the door. I don't know what's going on.
Could be.
We'll never know. Gino's sleeping right through it like a champ. So... it's our duty to tell people like what's correct in the world and for them to not argue with us and just accept it.
Correct. I agree. Spot on.
This is going well. So we have our I spent this weekend. Have you ever watched comedians in cars getting coffee?
I've seen, like, the premise. I've never, like, sat and watched the episode, but I know of it.
They just threw them up on Netflix. Like, they used to be, like, a Crackle thing, I'm pretty sure. I guess Crackle is dying, potentially. I don't know. But they're all on Netflix now. And so I just, they're like 17 minutes, most of them. And so I just sat through and pretty much watched like every last one of them, which was perfect for this because it was just all comedians. So I watched that. Gave me a little
I watched
bit...
a lot of Punisher to prepare for this. I wanted to not laugh at all so I would know what actual humor is when I saw it.
Did you actually watch Punisher?
Yes.
Still hate it?
Yes. I don't hate it. It's just not interesting at all.
That's fair. The PTSD guy who got his whole family murdered getting heroin from the Middle East was in your bag? All right, so we have top 15s. 10 wasn't enough. 20 was too much. I just sat down, thought about every comedian in person who just made me truly laugh throughout the course of my 28 years. Who are some of your honorable mentions that just missed the cut?
My honorable mention, my first honorable mention was Phil Hartman.
Ooh.
Like, I just don't know. I didn't know of any stand-up special. I was like, everything he's in, he killed me. I just don't know if he had the quality or the quantity, excuse me. And my next one, I'm tempted to put them on the list. I just didn't know where to divvy the credit. I've got like Matt Groening / Sam Simon. I just didn't know how much credit to divvy for The Simpsons, and that's why I put him honorable mention.
Yeah, I tried to not put. I only have one representative of The Simpsons. I'm pretty sure everyone knows who it is. But I tried to.
You're a big Hank Azaria fan. You won't shut up about it.
That would also be a good one. But he's also problematic these days, Tyler. So,
Hank do a thing?
Yeah, the whole Apu thing.
I knew it. I thought it was like a new thing.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like,
no.
You hear Hank killed his entire family? I'm like, oh no.
Again? So
it happened in the '90s, man. What the fuck?
Hartman, Groening, Simon, all that. There's another name too. Al Jean? No.
See, that's the thing. There's like all the names you see like at the very end of The Simpsons. I was like, I feel like they could all be
them.
One.
Yeah, that could be
entity.
One through
15. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I'll list some honorable mention. Just The Simpsons Corporation,
right,
is on my list.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And Drill was on my honorable mention.
Drill. Too much of this office doesn't know, like Trent doesn't know who Drill is.
I do not.
And yet you're on Twitter all the time.
I only know who Trill is. I don't know who Drill is.
Drill is fair. Drill's that blurry picture of Jack Nicholson that you see on your timeline like once in a while with just a tweet that makes absolutely no fucking sense in any context. It's the one about the candles. Can someone please help me with my budgeting? And then it's like food, electricity, this, and then candles, $3,200 a month.
I couldn't know less about what you're talking
all
about.
All right. Well, how dare you?
There are really hundreds of factions of the world to Twitter.
How dare you fly a good year blimp in a year that's been so bad?
That got a laugh out of me. Off mic, that got a laugh out of me.
My favorite Drill tweet is apparently there's a new beer called wine, and a shirtless man says, shut the fuck up. And Drill says, yes, sir. That's my favorite Drill tweet of all time. There's no close second.
Drill has so, like, any situation you're in, it's Drill and Tom Brody, dude. You go back to their tweets, you'll find something applicable to your current situation. And it's
every
like,
single time.
It's like there's no difference between good and bad things, the wise man said. Yeah, no, I mean, Drill's the fucking best. We might have to do like a whole Drill show.
I'm fine with it. Let's get Drilly on the phone.
I agree with Hartman. I didn't have him on my list, but I agree. That's definitely someone. The best is like The Simpsons intentionally wrote one where two of his characters had to speak to each other just to see if he would change his voice, and he didn't. He didn't know what to do.
Of course. A legend.
Yeah, so he was, I mean, Hartman's like, no, I got this voice. This voice is great. Everyone knows I'm these seven characters, and fuck it.
All right, let's just run it through, huh? I didn't make it this far by switching it up.
I have Patton Oswalt on my outside looking in.
Okay. He didn't quite make that the honorable mention cut, but he was honorable mention for my honorable mention.
he's just done, he's done like a lot that I don't even think people fully realize. Like, he's just been in a lot of things like for the past like 25 years. And he was also in Ratatouille, which was a delight. I have Dave Attell outside looking in. Because, again, okay. I just really fucking like Dave Attell. And someone who I feel like doesn't get enough credit for anything he does, he's starting to get more credit, but for more serious stuff, and it's Donald Glover.
Okay. He's, I don't hate that. He wasn't on my list, but yeah, I don't hate that.
He's got the stand-up. Like, if he called HBO or Netflix right now, he's like, I'm going to do an hour of stand-up, they'd give him billions of dollars for that hour.
Blank check.
Yeah, blank check. He was in the Spider-Man movie. He was a sarcastic prick in that. When he popped up, I was immediately happier. It was much funnier just seeing him on there.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Like, dang.
He missed the cut in the same, like, I had he and Aziz Ansari. Like, I think both those guys are funny people. I think they're, like, Master of None in Atlanta, like, they're centerpieces aren't comedy shows,
right?
And that's fine, but I don't have them. Like, they receive votes, they just miss my cut.
But like, even in the same instance, like, Glover wrote on 30 Rock, which is one of the better sitcoms like ever. He wasn't like a head writer or anything like that, but he wrote on it. And right. Aziz was on Parks, and I didn't like Aziz until I watched Parks. Like, I didn't even go try and watch his stand-up, none of that. And then after, I was like, oh, Tom Haverford's fucking hilarious. Like, now I'll watch his stand-ups.
Oh, yeah. See, I always like this. See, I've seen Donald Glover. I don't too much like his stand-up. I didn't really like Community, but pretty much
Community
anything
was
else right. he's done.
Community yeah, gets I didn't, gassed.
I didn't care for that. But everything else he's been involved with, I like.
And my number 15 is a tie, mostly because I'm a coward, but mostly because both of these guys, they've kind of joined themselves together on their show, and I could easily see both of them rising over the next few years into like the top 10, and that's Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress.
Okay, yeah, Hannibal was a close call for me. I was like, if we do this again in a couple of years, he'll be there for sure. I just need more. And it's coming. It'll be there.
Have you ever watched the Eric Andre show?
I've tried it. It's a little out there. It's a lot more man penis than I'm accustomed to seeing. A
lot of penis. He does those interviews for like 3 hours, 3-4 hours. And they only cut him down to like 5 minutes. And he puts them, like, they're in Southern California. They shut they don't even have AC, so it's just a very hot room. And he just sits there asking those ridiculous questions for, like, three. I don't know why these people stay there. Like, I don't know why they're still there.
Probably the funniest thing I've seen, did you see where they did they swapped Tinder profiles?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of them. I was like, okay. Like, I could watch stuff like that, but I don't know, like, the whole... I don't know, Eric Andre. I guess I haven't seen enough from him, but it's out there.
Him? So. He went to the, I think the RNC last year, and that had me in tears.
I didn't see that, but I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, that's on YouTube. That's, I mean, he was like, he walked up to Alex Jones, and he just had, like, Alex Jones had no idea what was going on, like, no clue. And it was... And he's just like, there's just a crowd of like white people with guns standing there. And he just didn't give a fuck.
Sure. Sure. Iowa. Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
So Eric Andre, I think he's only going to get bigger and bigger as the years go. And Hannibal just as a sidekick kills me. Like that whole dynamic and Hannibal, both of them unto themselves are both very funny. But since I'm a coward and wanted to have both of them on my list, but didn't have any other spots, I put them together.
I guess I haven't seen any like Eric Andre stuff on his own. Like I've seen Hannibal with Eric Andre. I've seen Hannibal on his own and then other stuff. I've never seen Eric Andre, just him. So he wasn't in my consideration.
Yeah, I mean, for all the hype all these YouTube stars are getting, I think Eric Andre has the platform already, like the traditional platform, and he's doing like I don't want to diminish what he's doing, but
he's making his rounds.
Yeah, just someone who's like who watches this stuff on the surface, they're like, oh, this is just a guy like causing a nuisance in public. He's not fully doing that. He will dabble with that, but it's like. Much more intentional.
Right. I keep hearing his name, so I'll check for him more.
Who's your 15?
My 15 was, I had Seth MacFarlane. And again, just because he's, like, with, there's been all the names in The Simpsons. I haven't heard of, like, a second guy with him. I'm sure there is one for all he's done. But just for everything he's given us, I feel like he's got to be on my list.
He needs a Barbera.
Yeah, Seth Hanna and also Seth Barbera.
That one's good. I didn't really consider him, and I don't know why. I know Trent's a very big Family Guy fan. And for some reason, over the past maybe 7 years, it's become cool to say Family Guy was never funny, and that's just a flat-out lie.
Yeah, that's just completely untrue.
Still, the take I got the most angry about that I've ever seen on Twitter, it was American Dad is to Family Guy, because that's a popular take. American Dad's actually better than Family Guy. That's not true.
No.
But American Dad is to Family Guy. That is...
Futurama
is to The Simpsons. And look, I like Futurama a lot. If you think Futurama is better than The Simpsons, you're an idiot.
Nah, it's like of those, Futurama or Family Guy? I feel like that's the only debate.
I feel like that's a strong debate. I think Family Guy had a hotter run. Like there was a point where they were the hottest things on TV. Period. Futurama was never that, but Futurama, I think, had. There's probably more Futurama episodes I'd prefer to watch today than old Family Guy episodes.
I would agree with that. And are you in on American Dad? Did you ever watch it?
I've probably seen 4 total episodes.
I was out on it. Then I gave it a shot and I was like, okay, this is legitimately good. Then for some reason, I don't know if it was work or life, I fell out and never got back in. But I was like, okay, this is it's funny. It's legit.
Yeah, I didn't, hate them. There's just something about the show I just don't. I was like, oh, this is Joe if he can walk.
Sure.
I see what's going on here. There's an alien. That's the thing. It's like The Simpsons kind of created this, father, mother, daughter, son, baby who is kind of like an adult. And then the Family Guy made Stewie talk. And then American Dad made the fish talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, they crawled so Family Guy could walk, so Roger the Alien could fly.
Who's your number 14? We'll go back. We'll snake it.
I had Norm MacDonald.
Ooh.
I had Norman, just a guy that's, I remember being, school age and try to explain his stuff to, other kids and them just not getting it and me, cracking up while I'm trying to say it. And I feel like that's still Norm MacDonald today. So he's on my list.
I actually put together a quick list of my own here. I got 8 of them, and Norm MacDonald is one of mine. The best way to describe or to show people Norm MacDonald is whenever he goes on a late night show and does panel on Conan or Letterman or whatever, he's the funniest man on the planet. If you go and watch those, it's incredible what he
kills
does.
It every single time.
He's the type of comedian that makes comedians cry. That's the kind of comedian he is.
Yeah. On roast and stuff, you'll see it. Everybody stops what they're doing to see what Norm MacDonald's gonna say.
Yeah, it's like how George Brett used to explain watching Bo Jackson bat. He was like, if you have to go to the bathroom, he's a guy you hold it for. Gettleman's up fifth. Right. I'll watch him. I'll piss while he's at bat, but when Bo Jackson's up there, this thing could go to the moon.
A good Norm MacDonald YouTube is when he purposely bombs at the Bob Saget roast. See, that's all time.
He didn't bomb. That's the thing. He went out there and he didn't.
He's just too good.
He just didn't roast. And I think that's the perfect thing to say. He's a comic, because if you watch that, everyone on stage is in hysterics, and everyone in the crowd's like, "What's happening?"
Has no idea what's going on.
He's talking about Marmaduke and stuff. It's hysterical.
Him hosting the ESPYs and they never asked him to come back.
Ever.
That's all Norm MacDonald you need.
Norm MacDonald pretty much ended how the ESPYs could be fun. He was the last one to make it truly what it should be. He was making athletes all sorts. I'm surprised he didn't get beat up.
Who's to say he didn't? I don't know. I think Norm's a big guy. I feel like he's a big Canadian guy. He probably held his own.
He is 14. I have Norm. I have Norm number 11. Since we're talking about him now, I have him 11. So when you factor in like his movies and just like how he speaks like in normal life, like he might be like Trent was saying, he might be the funniest person on the planet. Like he just might be.
Like that's why. Like my only question was like I was like 14 feels right, but I could see him higher. Like no issue. If you had like 11. Perfectly fine.
Yeah, like I don't even have him top 10, and like I'm also saying he might be the funniest person on the planet. Tyler, I hate to say it.
Don't you dare. Don't do it. Not in front of Chino. Come on, baby. Please.
There's a lot of funny people alive and have been and dead also.
God damn it.
He's in a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee episode, and he's like, you don't have, like he's talking to Seinfeld. He's like, you don't have kids, right? He's like, no, I've got three. He's like, a boy and two girls? He's like, one girl, two boys. He's like, I respectfully disagree.
That Norm.
Number 14, someone I doubt you have on your list. I have Stephen Wright.
Did not clear my list.
The same thing you were just saying about Norm MacDonald, like taking his jokes and trying to like tell them in school and just to crickets. That was me with Stephen Wright. Like Stephen Wright invented, as far as I'm concerned, deadpan comedy. Which I'm not like, I'm not a big fan of The Office, which is pretty much only like deadpan, like type comedy and like awkward situations. Stephen Wright, though, he goes up there and he'll just talk for an hour, the same monotone pitch. He just looks like, oh, this guy could be on heroin. He could like want, he might hang himself after this. And it just kills me. His one liners and his setups.
This guy's from Boston, isn't it? Is he from Boston?
He is, but I mean, I think most. I think like half of all comedians ever are from Boston, so I don't know.
I would say yeah. Like I know, I'm just not like I know his face. I'm not familiar with his work, so I can't call it.
I think like Stephen Wright would have been unreal. Like he never would have been a comedian. He just would have been like the best Twitter account ever.
Is he alive? First of all, I feel like I have to ask that about every comedian that's over like 18. Like are they still with us?
I'm pretty sure he is. I would have heard and would have been devastated if Stephen Wright had died.
That's okay. Yes, still amongst the living, 62 years old, pretty old for a comedian.
It's true.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know. I may have to check some of his stuff. I just don't know his work that well.
Am I 13? Probably influenced by what I watched all weekend, but also I thought about this list and I would have been pretty disingenuous to just not have him on there because I have enjoyed a lot of his work. Is Jerry Seinfeld?
He was another one. I wanted to put him on there. I was like, but his most famous work, I enjoyed another rendition of it better, and that person's on my list. So that's why Seinfeld didn't make my list.
I figured I know that was coming, but there's one thing you're forgetting about Seinfeld. Not only was he a big sneakerhead, like one of the originals, he's a huge cereal guy, a massive cereal guy.
I thought you were going to say he's a huge pedophile. I was like, I knew that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
I didn't know this.
Half the list, but.
I was going to say, yeah, we're Boston pedophiles. That's 80%. Yeah, I did not know Seinfeld was big on the snacks. I might have to drills out of here. Seinfeld's in.
Let's not be hasty.
okay, Hartman's out. Seinfeld's in.
Yeah, no, I'm Seinfeld. I mean, there's not much to say. He's like the richest comedian of all time. And Bill Burr says the best, like a lot of people, his act's about nothing. He doesn't like, he's just making regular observations and no, there's a lot of angst behind those observations. This is a man constantly annoyed at the entire world around him and how it operates. And I can respect that.
I was gonna say fair is fair. I never had a gripe with him, but yeah, he was my receiving votes.
You're 13 and 12.
My 13 was somebody that it's caught a lot of flack on Twitter. I feel like recently people saying that he was never funny. I was like, I feel like that's just not true. Will Ferrell.
Ooh.
Will Ferrell held us down for – Will Ferrell had a hell of a run. One of the best runs, I would say, like just like hit after hit, just like anything he was on tuning in and him killing it. And now there's kind of a consensus on Twitter, oh, that was never funny. And I was like, I just don't think that's true.
Those are the same people who tell me Juelz was never a good rapper. Like those people can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I have no need for that opinion. I just disagree with it.
I have Will Ferrell 7th.
Okay.
So that's
fair.
I agree with you. Will Ferrell's run, I mean, do you think about how hard it is just, like, first of all, to make a modern, like, Christmas classic movie? Like, he made Elf in, like, 03. Like, that's preposterously tough to do. To make something that, like, oh, we're going to put this on a channel all day on Christmas because that's how many people like it today. I feel like all those movies came out in, like, 1984 and prior.
It was Christmas Story or It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Those are the two.
When Will Ferrell showed up in Wedding Crashers as Chaz Reinhold in 2005, I was at a movie theater, and it got a standing ovation.
I just watched Wedding Crashers this weekend, and I thought about that, like, because it wasn't like on, like, the billboard or anything like that. So if you're – that's, like, his prime. That's post-old school. That's that's when he's, like – that's post-Anchorman, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, he's on top of the top. And he walks out, and you're just like, holy shit.
He's got nunchucks, and he's, like, ready to rock.
In a bathrobe. Like, that's – yeah, Will Ferrell
– that – when he showed up on Eastbound and Down, I'm Ashley goddamn Schaefer.
Right, right.
I was like, he's in his bag.
And I want to say, like, the original Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey, someone I meant to put on this list, he didn't end up making the final. He's also in that discussion to me.
For sure, yeah. He was another, he didn't make my list, but yeah, he was on the tough. He was just kind of turned into weird guy Jim Carrey instead of comedian funny person Jim, which is fine, which is more than fine, but. It doesn't get you on this list.
He just, like, paints now, and he's actually, like, crazy good at painting.
Like, yeah, I said he's, like, an amazing painter.
Like, way better than he should be.
I feel like that's just Jim Carrey. Just incredibly talented at probably everything he just decides to do. He guy's probably, like, a master piano player.
Probably. Well, you're 12.
My 12 is Martin Lawrence. Again, I wasn't too high on the stand-ups, but just for the show. I watched a lot of that show this weekend in different clips, some classics there, some great movie moments,
great interview moments. Yeah,
And so, yeah, he's debated having him higher, but I was like, 12 feels right.
Yeah, didn't end up putting Martin on my list, but, I mean, National Security kills me.
That's a movie I've seen.
Blue Streak kills me.
A movie I've seen. Yeah, I see Martin movies, so.
What was the one where he went back in time?
You should be higher, because I've seen Martin movies.
That's true. He went back in time. He was like a knight.
Black Knight.
Black Knight. Hilarious. Black Knight.
Seen that one. Then he had, like, he was cutting his teeth in, like, House Party, Boomerang. Bad Boys put him on the scene. Big Mama's House. Like, Martin had a good run.
And he hosted Comic View first, right? Or did he host? Def Comedy Jam.
Def Comedy Jam.
That's what it is. That was racist.
Very.
So, yeah, I mean, Martin's like one of the most important comedians ever.
I don't just like Martin as a show was just kind of like a pinnacle in my household. And I know a lot of other people's household that grew up like me. It's like, I just can't imagine a time without like Martin or Fresh Prince. Like, those are the two. Those are like our, like, Cosby Show was like a generation before us.
Yep.
And ours was like Martin, Fresh Prince.
Number 12, I have Chris Rock.
Oof, I got him higher. He's on my list, but he's higher.
Where you got him?
I've got Chris Rock 6.
Wow.
I've got Chris Rock very, I'm a big Chris Rock fan.
Yeah, as am I. I feel like him and Seinfeld are too close of friends where I couldn't, it was like Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress. I had to have them hand in hand.
Neck and neck. I got you.
And I gave him the edge because I find Chris Rock's stand-up is as good as it gets. Funny thing, Dave Portnoy, our boss, hates stand-up comedy. He just doesn't find it funny, which is preposterous.
Sure. He didn't like music in his car.
The only stand-up he even begins to respect is Chris Rock. So if you can get someone if you can get someone who truly hates the medium to be like, oh, no, that guy's actually hysterical, sure. It was weird. I've only seen him once live, and it was opening for someone else, which I can't remember the last time he's opened.
Was that the Chappelle?
Yeah, it sure was.
Rock and Chappelle, yeah. I was like, Rocket, he's somebody, there's not a whole lot of people I would like to see live. He's on my list. Like, I got to see him live.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Rock, he's got, like, he's another one of these guys. Like, he's gone like the Eddie Murphy route where he's been in these cartoons and he's got the stand-up success. He's got the television show success. Like, he's done it all.
He's got a talk show.
Talk show. He's many hats. Known hat wear.
Oh, yeah. He's all like his like joke about who lives in this neighborhood is just one of my favorite jokes like ever from anybody in any medium ever.
Best part about that joke, not it, little too true to be that funny.
Oh yeah, 100% factual. It's like you're laughing inside and you're like, wait a goddamn minute.
Yeah, something
I always think about. Anytime they show Jack Nicholson or Denzel Washington sitting next to him, just like some white guy's like, yep, that's the dentist. That's Chris Rock's neighbor dentist.
And 11, I had Norm.
Okay. Valor. See, my 11, I had Jamie Foxx. He's another guy. Another, again, noted hat wearer. Like stand up, did sketch comedy. He's acted like serious roles, funny roles. He sings, like hosted a radio show, a successful radio show for a long time. And also like kills it roast, like destroyed Doug Williams' career at the, I think it was the Emmett Smith roast. And I put some credence in that. So I got Jamie Foxx 11.
Okay.
Okay.
That's someone I definitely overlooked when doing this, but I mean, Jamie Foxx has been entertaining like my entire conscious life.
Oh yeah. Like In Living Color was on from the time I was like 3 or 4. I slick don't remember my life without Jamie Foxx doing something in it.
Yeah. Yeah. When people ask, which doesn't happen often, but when people are like, who's like the biggest celebrity of your lifetime? Like, I always say Shaq because I don't remember my life at any point without Shaq. And it's not like Jordan who like goes away and comes back. Like, he truly has like more of a stature about him. But Shaq was just doing a new commercial this weekend, selling like insurance or some shit. Not even the general, like different that home security shit. So like Shaq's always out and about. Like, he could have made this list. He didn't, but he could have. Jamie Foxx, very similar way.
Oh yeah, like, and also like every time you see Jamie Foxx, he's kind of like adding something new to the bag. It was like, okay, he's funny now. Okay, then you see him in like do his own stand-up show. Then you see him carry a comedy movie. Oh look, now he's carrying a TV show. Now he's carrying a drama movie.
Right.
And that's gonna be like, oh, Jamie Foxx is playing the xylophone. Did you know he's a master xylophonist? Did you know that?
And he's also gonna be Mike Tyson soon, which is gonna be fucking crazy.
It's gonna be incredible. So yeah, I had to have Foxx here.
Who's your 10?
My 10, I had to put Adam Carolla, man. Like, just for the radio shows, like the TV shows, and mostly the podcast, because it was basically literally just him, like 2 hours every day, like just volume, volume, volume. And again, we went our separate ways on the political spectrum, but that doesn't take away from him being a funny person.
Correct. I considered...
He's my 10.
I considered both original Man Show hosts and both... substitute Man Show hosts. None of them made my cut, but they were all four of them were in consideration.
Who was Stan Hope and who was the other
Joe name? Rogan.
Joseph Rogan, I'll be damned. I remember Stan Hope, not Joe Rogan.
Stan Hope, have you ever watched like Stan Hope, like stand up?
No, but he makes me, like, he seems like a person, like, I would enjoy his stand up. He's always made me laugh.
You look up Beer Hall Putscht. I think it's P U T S C H, maybe. It's a German word.
Sure. I know German, dickhead.
Apologies. Yeah, Stanhope's one of the funniest. Like, he's on that like a tell like type level where, again, he's just angry at everyone always, and he's gonna let you know about it.
He was always like a really good, like, I wanted to see him like hosting more things, like a tell, like hosting, because he's really funny but also good, like, and set the scene or throw it to other people.
Right.
So yeah, I like Stan.
10, I have Bill Burr, which I didn't want to put him too high because I think he's still got a lot to do. But
that's why he didn't make my list, but I was like, again, if this happens again, he'd probably be on there for sure because I do like Burr.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Burr is as funny as it gets. He, Boston guy, so obviously more points.
Sure. Racist, moves him up the list now.
Yep. He's married to a black woman, Tyler, all right?
Couldn't possibly be racist.
No. Heavens, no. He's got F is for Family, which is doing very well. He's got one of the biggest podcasts going. And that's just, again, him talking into like a phone for like an hour and a half, like twice a week now. And it's as funny as it gets. So Bill Burr, for sure. top 10 for me.
I don't even know if he knows he's talking into a phone. I think like that's what makes Bill Burr, like he's just kind of talking, and then at the end somebody's like, all right, we got what we need. He's like, what, we started? We already started?
Yeah, he's just yelling
about the plumber coming to my house.
That Bill Burr, his podcast is just therapy, so he doesn't explode. Like, he's just getting his thoughts out. He's just talking it out, calming himself down.
Same.
Yeah. Number 9, John Leguizamo.
Okay.
From his one-man shows, which are all tremendous, to the movies he's been in as a human being, to Sid the Sloth. No one... living in New York, too, he does, like, cable company commercials here. Those kill me. Like, John Leguizamo could come in here, read the phone book, and I'd be on the floor.
He just may. Honestly, I feel like I haven't seen him in anything forever. Like, which is not, I mean, it sounds good. Like, hopefully he's just living off the money of the stuff he's made. I just feel like I haven't seen or heard the name in eons.
Oh, I'm sure those Ice Age movies, he could never have to, like, go outside again.
He's still spending that pest money.
Well done.
Did you guys ever see the movie Empire with John Leguizamo?
I don't think so.
It's got Fat Joe in it.
Oh, is that the... Nah,
it's a drama. It's like a cocaine dealing movie.
Okay.
It's an awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out.
Okay.
Sounds like I need to.
Yeah. You're number 9.
I had Red Fox.
Ooh.
Just the show, the movies, like the influence. He's one of like a lot of older comedians I found, like their stuff, like I can see how this was funny in 1961. It's not funny to me now.
Right.
But I still laugh at Red Fox's stuff. So I had Red Fox.
I almost put Rickles on for like the same, and Take My Wife, Please. How am I blanking on his name?
Sure. Sure.
What's his name?
Who are you talking about?
Take My Wife, Please.
Oh,
what?
Was it Dangerfield?
Yeah, Dangerfield. I couldn't believe I was blanking on his name. Both of those.
He gets no respect. Totally.
It's true. Those three guys, Red Fox included, the oldest person I have on here is Carlin and Pryor. I didn't go too much further back than that. I guess Stephen Wright, too, but I didn't go too far back. But all three of those guys could have easily made the list.
I used to wash dishes with Malcolm X. That gets him on my list. Fair is fair.
You're 8.
Bernie Mac. Again, like the influence, the stand-ups. TV shows, movies. Like, I feel like he was really starting to branch out into movies.
Yeah.
Before he passed away. But another one, like, he was, like, in that Def Comedy Jam, when they would just yell at anything, he would get respect. People would just shut the fuck up when Bernie Mac was talking, right? Because they knew he was going to be funny, and he'd kill it every single time.
Yeah. No, I mean, Bernie Mac's that dude. I was watching a lot of Cat Williams conspiracy videos over the weekend, cause, like, they just showing up on Twitter, and he was talking about Chappelle and stuff, and then he talked about Bernie Mac, and he was the first person I've ever heard say a negative thing about Bernie Mac, and that shocked me.
What was the negative thing? I haven't heard that. I'm afraid.
He just said he would get comics up under him and, like, take him on the road, pay him nothing, stuff like that.
Oh, wow. See, I feel like I've heard, like, only the opposite. People are like, yeah, Bernie Mac would take me in and treat me nothing but well.
Right. So that's why I'm not putting much stock into it, but I was putting stock into what he was saying about Chappelle, so it got crossed in my brain.
Sure.
But yeah, Bernie Mac's a legend. That will never change my mind. I just watched all the Oceans 11, 12, and 13 this past week, just because they were like $10 if you bought all three on iTunes. And Bernie Mac kills in those. He's just funny no matter what.
I was going to say, I haven't seen anything Bernie Mac hasn't stole the scene in.
Right.
Stole the show or stole the scene in.
Number 8, the only woman I have on my list, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She was on Seinfeld, arguably the biggest show of the 90s. And she's on Veep, a show people continuously tell me is the funniest show on television. Those happened like 25 years apart, and she continues to win Emmys and all sorts of awards for being the funniest woman on television. That has to matter.
I was just like, I had asked a female friend, funny to hear a female talking about comedy. I was like, I don't have any women in my list. Does that make me a bad person? And she said no, so I didn't feel like a bad person.
I thought about like putting Ellen on here, but I don't find her funny than these 15, 16 people. So I wasn't going to lie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like I'm not a women aren't funny person guy, but we're talking like the elite.
Right.
Like if we did, you know, the next 15 or whatever, I'd have probably have some women, but like the best of the best, not quite.
And seven, I have Will Ferrell. So you're seven?
My seven is Larry David.
Okay.
Again, just for the
same reasons like I just weighing, said about Jamie Lee Dreyfus.
Basically, yeah, I was just weighing like him versus Seinfeld. Like again, the TV shows, writing influence, and he's still pumping stuff out.
Yeah, no, I mean Larry David's a legend, very influential. Another guy who I just started watching the Larry Sanders Show, and I think Gary Shandling doesn't get enough credit, and he's not going to be on either of unless I'm stepping on your number six.
Hey, don't you're stepping on my number two, Jack. I'm a big Shan fan.
The Larry Sanders Show is basically every popular show that's on TV now, just done in 1991.
How so? I've seen it on, but never.
Like it's.
I remember my mother used to watch it a lot, but I was like, this feels like comedy too old for me.
It's just the show behind the show. So it was the premise was he was a late night host, but the show was about. Like just his life surrounding that. So it was very like, it was the same camera you would see on Parks and Rec or The Office or Modern Family. And there just weren't like interviews where he was sitting by himself. Other than that, it's the exact same show.
Yeah. It created the mockumentary genre.
Right.
Okay.
So gotcha. That might be the most influential, like modern comic period.
I would say it could be. Cause yeah, that all the shows you listed follow that like to the T. So,
who's your six?
My six was Rock, Chris Rock.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think people would be pretty surprised he's not in either of our top fives. But again, these are the funniest people of all time. I think Chris Rock, that's the thing. You could put a lot of these people, like Norm MacDonald, Chris Rock, you could put a lot of these people in my top five. I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. They're just not.
I was like, yeah, if I went back and watched like Bigger and Black or any of these, yeah, he might be like three, but I didn't. So he's six.
My number six, and it's a tough time right now.
Uh-oh.
But it's going to be a tough time for probably everyone on these fucking lists over the next few years.
Probably.
So I just didn't think it was right to be talking about the funniest people and then hold something against them. That's been news for like 5 years now, by the way. Louis C.K. Louis C.K., okay. He wrote for Chris Rock. He wrote for Jerry Seinfeld. Like, they're stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So all these other funny people were allowing him to be funny, and his stand-ups kill me. I know you're not a big C.K. stand-up fan. His show, Louis, has been one of the most popular shows on TV. He just stopped doing it to make other shows, and he's done a lot to get money in comics' pockets as opposed to just by the way, he was like, oh, I'm going to own and operate everything I do. So in the terms of influence, in the terms of him just being a genuinely funny person, and again, from Boston, I can't not have him in the top six. I think it'd be disingenuous.
That's fair. Like, he was, like, when I whittled it down, I was just listing, like, funny people. He was on that list because he's a funny person for sure. He didn't make my, like, best of the best list. But, yeah, to say he's not funny, even with all the stuff going on now, would be
just incorrect.
One side of the story.
Yeah,
it's just inaccurate.
Like, he's a piece of shit. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure the vast majority of these people are a piece of shit. Jerry Seinfeld.
If we do top 15 piece of shit, my list might look the exact same.
Jerry Seinfeld, I'm pretty sure grew up like a rich kid on Long Island. Like, I would not like that human being. I'm sure he's a piece of shit to like normal people, but he's very funny.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure most of these people, horrible human beings, they're all funny. Louis C.K. is fucking funny. I hate, like...
C.K. was also part of those early Conan shows, which were, like,
oh, yeah, he's
best
on episode
shows.
One.
Yeah, he was, like, one of the original writers on that show, and that shit is hilarious.
He was a tree and a prop for episode, I believe, one of Conan O'Brien's late night show. Like, that's... Louis C.K. has been in the game for a very long time.
There was also the Dana Carvey show that he wrote on that lasted... It didn't last that long, but the first sketch of the entire show that they opened with on national TV was... I believe it was Bill Clinton as a goat with nipples, just like with milk spewing out of it. That was all Louis C.K.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, C.K. has been doing he's been doing a long time. He's got the movies. He's got the TV. He's got the stand-up specials. I mean, he was the one who put pressure on everyone else. Like, hey, no, I'm going to do a brand new a brand new one of these every single year, whole new hour of material. And you guys can either keep up or you can't. And we talked about it when we talked about Chappelle. Chappelle went away. CK just took that lane. He was like, oh, okay. Some, like him and Kevin Hart benefited the most from Chappelle going away for a while.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder if they started spreading some of those Comedy Central rumors. It'd be a real shame if they talking about Chappelle smoking crack.
So, yeah, CK, again, not a great person, but we're talking about the funniest people that I've ever seen. Like, yeah, he's on the fucking list.
Fair is fair.
Do I have to give my five, too?
Yeah, who's your five?
Nope. Devlin just told me, like, well, there was a hard out at 5. It's 4:57. There's a hard out, and then he just texted me. He said, test show moved, can go past 5. And then he texted me, test show not moved, at 5:05 exit. So we're going to have to save the top 5 for the next episode because it's too much that needs to be discussed.
Sure.
And we also have...
So, yeah, we can't run through that. That's not fair.
Yeah, we also have 8 minutes. So that wouldn't work well. So my 15,
that's what we call a tease.
Yeah, big time tease. My 15 through 6, I have Hannibal and Andre, Eric Andre, tied 15. Stephen Wright, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Norm Macdonald, Bill Burr, John Leguizamo, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Will Ferrell, Louis C.K.
That's valid. Decent list. Decent list. My 15 through 6: Seth MacFarlane, Norm Macdonald, Will Ferrell, Martin Lawrence, Jamie Foxx, Adam Carolla, Red Fox, Bernie Mac, Larry David, Chris Rock.
You, as long as someone's got Fox in their last name, you're all about it. Bob Fox, number 3.
I was going to say, yep, Fox is 2 on my list. Not to step on next week's show. But
So, yeah, Thursday, we might stumble upon talking some basketball. Who knows?
Well, let me see, two quick things. One, I want to hear Trent's list. He said he had 7 or 8 names. What's Trent's list?
Yeah.
I've got a couple that you guys already said, but I'll just run it down what I wrote down. I got Brian Regan.
Ooh, I like that pick a lot.
Larry David, Ricky Gervais, Chris Rock, George Carlin, Norm Macdonald, and Chris Farley.
Okay. I like Farley a lot, and I like Brian Regan
a lot. Yeah, Farley was definitely in my – when I was just thinking up funny people, he was definitely in my first cut.
Yeah. And Chris Farley, he goes into that. Will Ferrell, he goes into that. We talked about him. Jim Carrey. Like, those three might be, like, just the three. And who's the guy from Animal House?
John Belushi?
Yeah, Belushi. Yeah. Those four might just be, like, the funniest four people you can put in a movie, like, period.
And I think Brian Regan is very underrated, in my opinion.
Super underrated.
Honestly, I know, like, the face, the name. He's another guy I just don't know if I've seen enough from or much of anything, really.
Brian Regan has – he works clean. Mm-hmm. And he's made me laugh as hard as anyone's ever made me laugh. Like, he just goes off. He's a crazy person, but he's sure. I think you would enjoy Brian Regan. Like, he just tells these stories, and he's talking about, like, he's driving on the highway and he sees someone towing horse or donkeys. They're towing donkeys, and it has a sign that says caution, like, donkeys that are in here. And he's like, oh, 10 and 2. Got to be careful. Wouldn't want to hit these donkeys now with all these humans on the road.
Folks.
Yeah.
He's great. I grew up on Brian Regan. He's the type of guy, like, I have a couple of siblings, and he's the guy that we can quote all the time. And it's just, he talks about solar systems. He talks about spelling bees. It's very, like, normal things, but he makes them very, very funny.
Yeah, him and Seinfeld are close for reasons you can tell, but he's just a genuinely funny person. He makes, like, I mean, it sounds like I'm a baby how he amuses me. He makes these hilarious faces when he's telling jokes. Like, he's just very good at the craft.
Okay, dig. I might have to check some Regan.
Yeah, Regan's good. Carlin's obviously good. Pretty sure you only had white people.
I had Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I had Chris Rock.
A late addition.
Yeah, he's like, no. Look, we're writing it down.
I was going to put Cat Williams, but there was a small window where he was the funniest man on the planet.
Not lying. You're not.
Oh, yeah. He had a very Brandon Roy hot run. It fell off.
Yeah.
That Brandon Roy comparison made me sad.
It's never great. Never great to hear Roy's name.
Wait, one more question. Coley, how do you feel about everybody on the Patriots hating each other? Keep it quick. I read a thing on the internet that says everybody hates each other. So,
well, I just watched four games this weekend, eight teams that apparently all like each other, and they fucking stink. So, if the Buffalo Bills all like each other in that locker room, I'm glad the Patriots hate each other. They're doing it correctly.
That's, well, come on, you know they all hate Tyrod. Don't do this.
That's true, but I really hope Tom told Jimmy G to go to his trainer to get help, and then he locked the door and he was just standing on top of the building with an anvil. Like, should I kill him? Like, I could kill him right now.
He's just peeping out from under the blinds.
Yeah, he hung up like a "be back in 5 minutes" sign, and just like they never gave. Let's see how long this fucking idiot stands here and waits. Like, that part of the story to me, that it was made to villainize Tom. It did the opposite for me. It was so funny. Like, oh yeah, go here. We'll fix
6 minutes.
So that, yeah, I'm all in on Tom being like, no, fuck. Like, imagine if here at Barstool, there was another guy standing next to me. He's pretty good at tweeting too. I wouldn't like that guy.
Fair is fair. That's why you don't like me. That's why we've got our known gripes.
Yeah, it's true. People don't realize how much contention there is when we record. It's a winning formula. Hey, liking your coworkers, very overrated.
Trash. Trent's in here to mediate. Little do people know.
Keep the peace. You should hear what I cut out of this fucking program.
Oh boy.
But rest in peace. Another honorable mention, Tom Bro did.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Porter. Also a funny human being unto his own right.
Correct.
I'm going to throw one last one in there, and I don't know the guy's name, but Coyle will know what I'm talking about. The stabbings Twitter joke. It's a record. Yeah. That's I don't know the guy's name, but that's a great tweet.
What's the setup to that tweet again?
It's like a mugger comes up and is like, give me your wallet, and pulls out a knife, and the guy goes, this knife took a sharp turn. And then it cuts to the doctor and is like, it's a record number of stabbings.
Is that Drew? Could be Drew.
No, it's weird Twitter, though. It's a guy who worships at the altar of drill. Maybe Trent's going to get into a drill. I'm just going to start sending you drill tweets, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, you guys were right.
Please do.
Yeah.
And Drill's fan star, and just Trent's going to kill 6 hours. Was it Fave Star?
Fave Star. Car Cares, Fun for Flint. Smash that donation button. It keeps getting fucking colder. And it's true. We'll see you guys Thursday with these top fives.
See ya. Thursday. I got you Thursday.
Oh, God damn it. All right. Well, see you Thursday. yeah. And hopefully you got your Alabama hat and your Georgia shirt, and both your teams win tonight.
Man, I got a full tank of gas ready to go wherever the evening takes me.
Enjoy, pal. Stay safe. Glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, pal. See you, fellas.
See you.
See you, Tyler.
See you, Trent.
Please. Hey, goddamn. Here, don't skip up. Give me a hand, both. This is my friend's son. Skip him now. I told you guys, you showed me. This is my latest album. I made it 5 years ago. I'm not going to make another one until we sell these. It's a good album, too. It's about love and caring and being together, being close, being physical. Love. Hygiene. That's the important factor. Hygiene. The toughest thing in the world is have to turn to your mate one night and say, you got to wash your ass. Shit. Knowing how difficult it is, I said it for you in this album. You got to wash your ass. You folks up there with binoculars, buy one of these albums and mail it to your home anonymously. Now, if the postman brings two albums, then both of y'all wash your ass. It's a two-way street. Don't be screaming from the audience, sir. This is not a Merv Griffin show. If you don't like the show, bend over. I'll drive you to Dallas. get one. See, let me explain to you folks. You can let your armpits go a couple of days, maybe. But not your ass. How could you tell someone, I love you, darling, knowing in your heart you haven't washed your ass? I'm not talking about your whole ass. I'm talking about your ass whole. You'd be surprised the pollution that can be found in an area the size of a dime. Or a 50-cent piece. Or a silver dollar. Now, you know your ass better than I do. But you got to wash it. Tell me, how could you turn around in bed with your loved one upside down to 69 and have them wash your ass? To coin a phrase, when you 69ing, your ass ain't but 1 inch from your loved one's nose. One inch. Don't do that to someone you love. Wash your ass. You lay there thinking, no one knows. Shit, the nose knows. Another thing that can wreck your love life. And this is for you fellas. Men, stop wearing white shorts. Please, fellas, you got to stop wearing white shorts. You know why? Because every wash day, every pair of your white shorts got a brown smudge in the seat. Your wife don't want that shit.